Thanks, Jeff. It's a joy, it's a pleasure to be here and to be with you this afternoon. It's not always possible, as Methodists are often being pulled in different directions. There's no notes on there. Oh, the danger is if there are no notes, then be comfortable. Because I don't know when I get to the end, you see. Well, I do. I get a prompt from the Holy Spirit. That stopped me wandering anyway, hasn't it? I was over there, now I'm here. See, we think we're all different, but we're no different than anyone else. You see, normally in the Methodist church, I'm up here, you see, and the congregation's all the way over there. And I see, I've often said, when we get rid of the pews, or when the pews have gone, you see, we'll be able to get nearer to the congregation, but it seems congregations like to be far away, but God likes to be close at hand. And I have a reading somewhere. Here it is, the Bible. I'm going to read from the Acts of the Apostles, and I'm going to begin to read from chapter 1. And this reading takes place before Jesus is taken up into heaven. He's with the disciples. He's about to ascend into glory, into the heavenly places. And we read Acts chapter 1 verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Short prayer, let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for the written word. Now through the spoken word, may we meet Jesus, the living word. Amen. So, a promise. A promise from Jesus, a promise to his disciples. But first of all, they are told to wait. They are to wait in Jerusalem, and they are to wait until the appointed time. They are to wait until that time when the Father will send upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit. They are to wait for that baptism. They are to wait in Jerusalem. Not very good at waiting. I aren't anyway. I'm not, certainly. And maybe you are like me. I like to have things. We live in a society where people are not very good at waiting. People don't seem to wait to get married these days. They kind of give it a go to see if it's going to work out. People don't wait until they can afford things before filling the home with lots of things that they can't afford in a marriage that doesn't exist. And before it's all paid for, it's all over. And I think it's all part of the society we live in, that we want it now. We want it now. It's called eye disease. I want this. I want that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And sometimes I, in my ministry, come across people who don't want to wait, and certainly they don't want to wait on the Lord. They'll do things in their time and in their way, and they pay the price. They pay the consequences. Now, when God makes a promise, God fulfills the promise. And our God is a great and a mighty God, a wonderful God. And when God makes a promise, we can be sure that he's going to fulfill his promise because God is faithful. The day of Pentecost came, and the promise to the disciples was when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not if the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power. When I first felt a call to ministry, I'd been working in industry for a number of years. I left school on my 16th birthday. I was converted when I was 14. I left school on my 16th birthday as fast as I could, with as little as I could academically. No academic qualifications. And then, some years down the line, felt God calling me into ministry. And in the Methodist ministry, you have to have 4 O-levels or their equivalent to offer for the ministry. I thought I had 1 equivalent, well, maybe 2 equivalents and another 1. But when I met my wife, she pointed out that my O-level certificate in English language was a failure certificate. Because I proudly showed her it, you see. And she said, "That's a fail, Graham." I said, "They wouldn't issue a failure certificate, surely?" She said, "Oh, they do. Yeah, of course they do. When your car fails its MOT, you get a failure certificate. And that's a fail." So it was even worse than I thought. So I actually went off to Cliff College. I gave up my job, gave up my home, and I had a year at Cliff College studying the Bible, among other things, but also getting some O-levels. And I would say to these little people here, stick in while you're at school. These are the best years of your life, they say. They are sometimes wrong. But stick in. Because when you leave and God calls you to do something wonderful that needs 4 O-levels, you have to go back to college to do what you could have done when you were at school. And that was an expensive lesson for me to learn to go back to college. What's this got to do with anything? I'll tell you what it's got to do. If you've ever been to Cliff College and you've been at this time of the year when they used to have the celebration weekends, you would arrive on all the buses and you would walk down the lane and there'd be a banner over the path. And on that banner were written the words, "You will receive the Holy Spirit." And on your way home on a night, you would come and you would face the other side of the banner as you were leaving. And on the other side of the banner was the question, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" In other words, the promise was you will receive. The question is, did you receive? And if you answered no, then where have you been? What have you been doing? Because God was there and God was at work. And God is here. And the first thing I want to say this afternoon is God is present. God is present. That's what Pentecost means. God is with us. God is here. Let's just be still for a moment, because right now, don't know whether you know this, this place is being bombarded with people who want to communicate with us. People who are trying to tell us things. People, you're getting worried now, aren't you? You think, "Oh, he's lost the plot. I knew I shouldn't have asked a Methodist to preach." He's contacting people out there. Battery gone. Right, okay, that's better. Thank you very much. Okay. People out there wanting to be in touch, bombarding us with signals, wanting to tell us things, wanting to get us up on our feet and dancing and what have you. Well, God is out there as well, bombarding this place with his presence. Yeah? Wanting to break through. Wanting to communicate. And what we have to do is first of all be switched on. Because not everybody's switched on. We need to switch on and tune in onto the right wavelength. Yeah.
Sometimes I fear people miss out on the blessings that God has for them because they're on a different level. They come in and it just seems to go either over their heads or around them. And what God wants us to do is to open up that we might receive. See that box there, that wonderful, clever box, received the signal. And we heard voices and the music. And when we open ourselves and tune in, we can receive the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. So Pentecost is first of all about presence. It's about God saying, here I am here, and I want to be not just here, but within you. God wants to come and dwell, to live within us. Presence, the presence of God. Not only here and now. Some people think it's about, the presence is about us being here. Here I am, Lord. I'm here again. I've come. And you should be honored that I'm here. It's got nothing to do with that. God is here. And God is with us. And I believe that God is with us in a very special way when we, his people, gather to worship. I don't know about you, but when I go on holiday, the first thing I do, if I'm in a strange place, is I look for where I'm going to gather with God's people to worship on the Lord's Day. Sometimes it may be a Methodist church, not always. I look for the church where I'm going to worship. I am going to worship. Not where I am going to church, but where I'm going to worship. And in the welcome, we were told that we were the church, the people, and not the building. And we are the church, God's people here. And God is with us, God is present. And it's not just about the here and now, it's for the always and the everywhere. Wherever we are, God is with us. So I want to ask how you are on a Monday morning. When you're not in the fellowship and you're not raising your arms and dancing and singing and praising. When you're on your own, and so often in the week as Christians we are on our own. We are no longer, as it were, gathered as the people of God and we go into the world. How do we hold up in the week, on Monday morning? Well, I want to talk, secondly, I've talked about the presence. I want to talk about the power of God. Pentecost is about the presence of God. It's also about the power of God. And I have here, somewhere, a pocket. Got lots of pockets. I have here two batteries. One says Duracell, the other says Xcel. One of these batteries is full of power and the other isn't. One of these batteries is powerful and the other isn't. And the amazing thing is that to look at them, you can't tell the difference, can you? They both look like batteries. But one is no more. It used to be. It's had its day. And it never will be again, because it's not a rechargeable battery. And the wonderful thing is that when I look out here this afternoon, I see lots of people, different shapes and different sizes, and you all look lively. But looks can deceive, can't they? You see, if I connected these batteries up to a machine, not that machine, well, it wouldn't work. Because one of these batteries is dead. But you can get clever machines that would tell me which one is dead. I wonder if it was possible to connect us to a kind of a spiritual power tester. It would be interesting what kind of results we would get, do you think? I mean, would you be willing to go public? Is it one of those things, you know, where when you go on the scales, you kind of check around to make sure no one's going on. Last time I got on the scales, I jumped on and it said, one at a time, please. Aye, so, if it was possible to step onto one of these machines to test our spiritual power, would we have the confidence to stand next to our Christian brother or sister and let them see what the reading was? We might get some surprises, because looks can deceive. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. You will receive power. It's a promise. And I don't know about you, but I need power to live the Christian life. It's not easy being a Christian. I don't know whether you find it easy. If you do, well done. Well done. But I sometimes struggle. I struggle. If you read Galatians 5 and you read about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I was talking elsewhere this morning about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and how I believe we should all manifest all the fruit, because the seeds to the fruit of the Spirit are to be found within our hearts and lives, and we need the Holy Spirit within to kind of germinate and bring those seeds to fruition. But some of those seeds I find are not fast growing in my life. And patience is one of them. Patience is one of them. I apologize, I'm the only one here in fancy dress this afternoon. And I am a bit overdressed, and I did explain that I was feeling a bit hot, but I didn't take my jacket off. Because I preached this morning in this jacket in a church with the heating still blaring away. And then I rushed home, rushed here. And I've been careful praising the Lord in case people were slain in the spirit. Because it gets a bit like that, you see. Oof. I raised me up, and I often wondered how they did it, you see. And one day I went, hi, and 12 people at the bus stop were slain in the spirit. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. God moves in a mysterious way. But, yeah, stuff happens. The power is given for a reason. And I believe part of that power is to germinate the fruit. Now, why is it when I get in the car, one of the first things I do is take this off like that? Yeah? It's because when I am raged on the road, this is a confession, when that Sunday driver in front of me, and it's Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, is... And they look in the mirror thinking, I wonder who that nice chap is behind me. In the boot, trying to... The last thing I want them to see is a dog collar in the mirror. Because it would be such a negative witness. And I realise that. And I'm ashamed. I do literally take the collar out in case I lose it. And I have been known to lose it. Once, I was stood in a queue in the newsagents, and somebody came in behind me and said, hey, no collar, just because you've got that fish thingy on the back of your car doesn't mean you can drive like some cruise liner or something, he seemed to imply. I think he was being rude. And I was just kind of going, very aggressive behind the wheel, very angry. Yeah. Bit of fruit missing. Yeah. I'm a very lovely man. I'm a very gentle and kind man. Unless you're driving that car in front of me. You see how one affects another. You see, my lack of patience then evidently shows up my lack of kindness. So one by one I'm losing all the fruit. And it's not good. It's not good. the fruit of the Spirit. We need the power of God at work in our lives to germinate that fruit. We need that power of God to live the Christian life. Sometimes it takes power to get out of bed on a morning for some people. Some people struggle to get out of bed on a morning. Yeah. Some people really, really do find, far from being easy, life is tough, even with the power that God gives. We need that power. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. It's a promise. And we need to receive that power, that infilling from God. And we need to receive it daily. I believe that this is a promise that we need to draw on daily. Sometimes people are wondering why life is hard. And it could be they've neglected time with the Lord. I gave up reading every day with Jesus many, many years ago because I got a kind of a conscience. It became every other day with Jesus, you know? Or every third day with Jesus. And sometimes it was twice a day with Jesus. But every day with Jesus, it was kind of imposed upon me and made me feel very difficult and small. But I know when I neglect the scriptures, when I don't spend time with the Lord, when I don't ask Him to fill me daily, then I struggle. So we shouldn't be surprised. The presence of God is with us to empower us. And thirdly, I'm just giving you three P's today, is with us to protect us. To protect us. And we need protection. Where have I put my bag? Oh, here it is, look. I need some assistance. I need two assists. Well done. You two over there. Come on down. You were waiting for that, weren't you? I would like you to hold that with both hands above your head, right? And I would like you to hold that one, both hands above your head, and face that way. And after three, I want you to squeeze those cans with all your might. One, two, three. Wow. Go on, see what you're doing now. Look, go on. See what's happening. Whoa. Bah, come. Whoa, look at that. Go on, a bit harder. Look at that. It's going to burst. I don't think so. Look at that. See what she's done. They're all running away now, look. It's got something in it, that's why. Right. Well done. Yes, that one's empty. And that one's full. But you were still applying a lot of pressure there, weren't you? Do you know I'm strong, but I'm not that strong, honest. You were squeezing as hard as you could, weren't you? Go on, both of you, squeeze that as hard as you can. Go on. Yeah, go on. Whoa, see? Go on. Not even you, who had three Weetabix this morning for breakfast, can make any impression. Right, thank you very much. You had two. Well done. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much. Do you see how easily that one was crushed? No impression on there, really. It was, the pressure was still applied. And while I was sat sitting there, I lost a Bible passage. And it doesn't matter that I lost it. I know what it says. That's the important thing. And it's a lesson I learned a long time ago. I used to get intimidated by people who would say, you know, it says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, subsection 2. Does it? Well, actually, when we got the scriptures, first of all, are you looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, subsection 2? All right, okay. When we got the scriptures, there weren't any chapters and verses and things. What we need to know is what's being said. And it was Paul who said it, and I was looking for it and couldn't find it. There's a challenge for you. We are often troubled, I'm sure he says, under pressure, but never crushed. That's what Paul says. We are, as Christians, we're in the world and we get knocked about. And we will. We'll get used and abused. Sometimes life is hard. And I will say to some people, sometimes life stinks. And it does. But the wonderful thing is that God is in it with us. God is in the mess. That's why Jesus came into our mess. To be part of it, to rescue us from within. And God sends the Holy Spirit into our lives and into the mess of daily living sometimes. And when we are being knocked about and troubled, yeah, we will get knocked about. And sometimes we might think, oh God, where are you? And then we may hear that still small voice and know, coming back to the beginning, the presence of God, which is what Pentecost is about. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. The presence of God is in the here and the now and for the always and the everywhere. God is in it for the long haul. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. God with us forever. Empowering us, giving us power and offering us protection. He doesn't offer us an escape from this world's problems. But he offers us a way through. So they are the three things on my heart this afternoon. The presence of God, the power of God, and the protection of God. The Holy Spirit, God's gift of himself to us, to you and to me, here and now. Amen. Been asked if I will close in prayer. So let's pray. Let's pray. God our Father, we acknowledge your presence here. We acknowledge the one you sent to be our helper. In the name of Jesus. Jesus who said, my Father will send another helper. And you came. And you are here. And you are with us. And we pray, Lord, that you would open us to your presence. In the here and the now and the always and the everywhere. May we be conscious spiritually of your presence with us and your love for us and your desire to live within our hearts and our lives. So come anew and come afresh. Come and fill us. Fill us full. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit. And as you do, empower us, strengthen us to be the people that you call us to be, worthy of the name of Christ. To be your people, your witnesses. Because you made that promise that when the Holy Spirit came, you would empower your disciples and for a purpose that they might be your witnesses. So may we be your witnesses. We pray, Lord, that you would offer your protection upon us as we seek to witness for you. And we pray for those we know and love, those to whom we witness, and particularly those who seem to have hard hearts and closed minds. Give us patience. Make us faithful. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue the work that you have begun in us. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the coming together of your people in this place.